Good morning, everyone. Great to be with you this morning, and glad we can spend this time together once again in God's Word, just looking to Him, and glad you all made it. I made it this morning by the Lord's grace, having an alarm that I thought was set that did not go off, and woke up with a sudden, it's later than I thought it should be, and of course, with the time change, it made everything better. So, great that I was able to make it, and we're celebrating. We finally had another calf, and just enjoying new life as we can celebrate it on the farm. And so this morning we're going to be opening and looking at 1 Samuel and chapter 28. And in doing so, we're going to be looking at our object of faith. And even more so, as we look at our object of faith, what we want to look at this morning is the temptation. The temptation that we would put our faith rather than in the right place, in the wrong place. And it's so easy to desire, to want, to long for putting that faith, that trust, that wholehearted reliance and dependence on things that are tangible, things that are seen, and that is always easier than placing it in the unseen. And yet today, the Lord, once again, is not just looking for a product, but interested, even more so, in the source of that product. And we want to be reminded of that today. Before we begin reading, we're going to pray. And we're just going to ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning, and then we'll dive in. Lord, thank you again that this morning we can come and praise your name, that we can sing and honor you, and again, just acknowledge who you are. And yet, even though we know that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, today it is a daily choice to put you in that place of Lord of our lives, as King of our circumstances, as the one who reigns in our hearts. I pray again today that we would let the many demands and distractions that are around us to fall silent in this moment as we open our hearts, open our minds, and open our ears to your word, to your will. And I pray your encouragement this morning for how we ought to live before you. Thank you for your incredible grace. Thank you for your mercy. And thank you that this morning you've provided your word that you might encourage us to walk in your ways, that today you are with us, that your eyes are moving to and fro to support those whose heart is wholly yours. And with that heart, I pray again this morning that we would be listening to your words today. In Jesus' name, amen. As we begin, and we're going to be looking at our continued saga between Saul and David this morning, focusing on Saul and a few things that we've been learning on our farm. And I don't think many, if any, have had the privilege of coming and seeing our farm. If many of you asked, I would say, when people come to our farm, some of the first words out of my mouth are, look for the potential. Can you see it? Why? Because when you obtain a farm, you obtain many things, including junk piles left by the previous farmer, or in our case, junk piles left from the previous four farmers who own this land, right? You obtain a large plot of ground where many people with large things ask if they can put them there, right? I had someone come the other day and go, wow, you've got a lot of heavy equipment here. And then you have to stop and go, well, that dump truck belongs to somebody I know who needed it to stay here for a little while. And that belongs, do you know what I mean? You obtain a parking lot for things. You obtain a number of things. And yet, this is something we've been learning and something we laughed at this week because we were laughing with a friend who's also obtained some land. And one of the things we learned was this: just because it's free does not mean you should take it, okay? Well, I laugh because my wife, she's the queen of Facebook, and she'll have someone pop up and go, free fencing. And she go, ooh, we need fencing, right? And then you realize this fencing company has taken out half-rotted cedar fencing from somewhere to put up a new fence, and they show up in a truck with a bunch of half-rotted fencing, and it's at a point where you can't really say no anymore, and you realize you've just added something to the burn pile and the clutter, right? So listen, just because it's free doesn't mean you should take it. Secondly, and this one cuts to my Mennonite heart here, just because it's on sale doesn't mean it's the Lord's will to buy it, okay? Right? Very important, because sometimes on sale can mean and equate with God's will. Every time the Canadian Tire flyer comes and I see tools I don't have, on sale means the Lord wants me to have it. I'm sure of it. I try to convince my wife of it, but leveler minds usually win out, and no, we do not get it. So no, just because on sale doesn't mean it's the Lord's will to buy it. Listen, here's another one. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Right? Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And so often, there are times in life where I think, oh, sure I can, and that equates with meaning, I should. We went through 1 Corinthians together, and in it, remember, Paul reminded this church, though all things are lawful, not all things are what? Profitable. Right? Just because you can, just because it's lawful, doesn't mean you should, doesn't mean it's profitable. And sometimes I get those two backwards. Sometimes I think my ability to do something means it also comes along with the motivation that I should. And the reality is, just because I can doesn't mean that I should. Lastly, and here's what we're going to look at this morning, just because something works doesn't mean it's right. Okay? Just because something works doesn't mean that it's right. And there are many times where I believe there are things in life where I go and I see that they work. And just because they work or seem to work, listen, doesn't mean that it's right. But again, I get this mindset where I think, oh, it works, therefore, how can it be wrong? I mean, if God allowed it, made it to be such, it must be part of his will. And here is where we're going to see someone, Saul today, who's grasping for the Lord's will. And he's looking, he's longing to hear God's voice, and he's going to go to many extents to find it. And he's going to go to places, he's going to go and do things that may work, but in no way did it make them right. He's going to go and do things that obviously he could, but in no way should he have. Let's read chapter 28 in 1 Samuel. It says this, verse 1. It came about in those days that the Philistines gathered their armed camps for war to fight against Israel. Achish said to David, "Know assuredly that you will go out with me in the camp, you and your men." David said to Achish, "Very well, you shall know what your servant can do." So Achish said to David, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." Now Samuel was dead. All Israel had lamented him, buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had removed from the land those who were mediums and spiritists. So the Philistines gathered together, came and camped in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they camped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the camp of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. When Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, "Seek for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said to him, "Behold, there is a woman who is a medium in Endor." Saul disguised himself by putting on other clothes and went. And the two men with him, they came to the woman by night and said, conjure up for me, please, and bring up for me whom I shall name to you. And the woman said to him, behold, you know what Saul has done. How has he cut off all those who are mediums and spiritists from the land? Why are you then laying a snare for my life to bring about my death? Saul vowed to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Funny that someone would swear by the Lord when they're doing something utterly and absolutely opposed to the Lord in every way. And yet, it goes on, verse 11, the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. The king said to her, do not be afraid, but what do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I see a divine being coming up out of the earth. He said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is wrapped with a robe. And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and did homage. Then Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Saul answered, I am greatly distressed, for the Philistines are waging war against me, and God has departed from me, no longer answers me. He says, God has departed from me, no longer answers me, either through prophets or by dreams. Therefore, I've called you that you may make known to me what I should do. He then goes on and says this. He says, Samuel said, why then do you ask me, since the Lord has departed from you and has become your adversary? The Lord has done accordingly as he spoke through me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, to David. As you did not obey the Lord and did not execute his fierce wrath on Amalek, so the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also give over Israel along with you into the hands of the Philistines. Therefore, tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Indeed, the Lord will give over the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. Then Saul immediately fell full length upon the ground and was very afraid because of the words of Samuel. Also, there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day and all night. Now, I'm going to stop there because I want you to note, here is someone craving the will of the Lord. He wants to know what to do. And yet, he's going to go about it, and notice, as he goes to this medium, he says the Lord is not speaking, either by dreams or by Urim or prophets. And what we see is a man who is going from thing to thing, person to person, longing to hear from the Lord, longing to hear what to do. Urim, if that's an odd word for you, there was something, if you go all the way back to Exodus 28, there was something called Urim and Thummim. And these were things that were actually used by the prophets to seek the Lord's will. And there's much debate about exactly what they were and how they worked. But in Exodus 28:30, we're actually told that they were items that were used. And when Aaron would put on his breastplate before going into the presence of the Lord, he would take these items, put them in his breastplate over his heart. And he would wear them over his heart as he went in to hear from the Lord. And so they were wrapped up in hearing God's voice. And so now he had gone to prophets. He had sought in dreams. He had gone to items that he thought might tell him either his fortune or future. And yet none of them were working. None of them. And there's good reason why. Because God had already told him Notice Samuel's words, and to me, there's no other passages where I think if anyone were to drop in fear, it's when a dead man speaks and says, oh, by the way, tomorrow you're going to be with me. What has he just said? He's given him his death sentence. Tomorrow, Saul was going to be with Samuel. And yet, notice how he is longing, he is looking, he is searching for that voice. Here's the thing. There are things in this world that work. And we may laugh at them. In ignorance, we may joke about them. The reality is, here we're looking at divination, the talking to spirits. And me, in my conservative upbringing, in my lack of experience and understanding, would see those things as sometimes as funny, as out there, right? And yet, though some may see it more than others, we live in a world where we are not just fighting the physical, are we? The greater battle is the spiritual. And there are spirits, there is the demonic, and the longer we look and live, we may see, we may catch a glimpse of these things at work. And there are things out there today that though we do not believe in them, we may well believe they are wrong. Here's the scary thing, they can work. We can look at witchcraft and Wicca and horoscopes and tarot cards and many things. I speak from experience and embarrassed to tell you, as adventurous youth, right? At a party, diving in when someone brings the Ouija board to the party and saying, really? Come on. And then being shocked when it actually moved and nobody was moving it. A moment I won't forget. Why? Because I caught a glimpse that, guess what? There's something out there. I may not understand it, but I'll tell you this, it worked. And as they would ask questions, it would give prevalent answers. One person I knew used a board until it literally went cold and froze on them. Cold. And you begin to realize there's more things out there. But here's the thing. Just because something works, just because something may tell you a future or a fortune, does it make it right? We can go and you can seek and people find and seek after people that heal, people that do things, people that can go and on their behalf tell you things. One thing I would laugh at was a TV show well back. Not only did you have the dial-up psychic, you had the pet psychic who would tell you where your pet had gone and what they thought and what they were thinking. And bizarre, right? And how much truth I do not know. But listen, there is a realm in which we do not understand. Here's the thing. Many things work. Here's the scary thing, and the most important thing. What God is interested in today is not results. He doesn't just want you healed. He doesn't just want you to know his will. He doesn't just want you to know things about him. He doesn't just want you to know your future. He's as interested in the source of the power as in the power to do it. This is why in John chapter 15, he says, listen, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can what? Bear no fruit. Oh, you may be able to find physical healing. You may be able to find future and fortune. But if it is not abiding in the power and the source of the vine, here's the truth, it's wrong. It's wrong. And God this morning is reminding us here, as Saul begins to seek, yes, there are things, and this is why this morning I begin, just because it's free does not mean you should take it. Just because it's on sale doesn't mean it's the Lord's will to buy it. Just because you can does not mean you should. And just because it works, it doesn't mean that it's right. What God is interested in this morning is faith. Faith in the source that is Him. Remember this, John 6, verse 36. He says, and again, I'll remind you, John 6, 29. He answered to them when they asked, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And he said this, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." It wasn't just to go out, feed the poor, tithe, help, work, evangelize, pray, read. No, here's where it starts. The source, the root, believe in Him whom He has sent. Hebrews 11, again, common as we read it often. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. And by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Faith. That inward reliance and dependence on Him as our source of life. So often, as we look at the scriptures, we can go back and remember that it was not just the act or the action, but what God was concerned with again and again was the root to which it came. I remind you again of Moses, in which he gave us such a great example of one who walked before God, heard His voice, and yet at times would ignore what he knew to be true and do and fall back and rely on what worked last time instead of God's instructions for what to do this time. Do you remember? Numbers in chapter 20. When God said, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, assemble the congregation." Numbers 20, verse 8. He said, "Speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water. And you shall thus bring forth water for them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beasts drink." So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, just as He had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, "Listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. Verse 12, Numbers 20, "But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Because you've not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I've given them.'" What happened? Moses, in a moment of passion, chose rather than, what were God's instructions? Speak to the rock and bring forth. And in that moment, rather than do what God had said, what did he do? Well, remember, after circling in the desert so many days, months, years, what happens? He remembered exactly what God told him to do last time and what worked last time, which was to strike the rock. and he put his faith in what worked yesterday instead of God's instructions for today. Did it change the fact that the people were watered and sustained? No. No, it didn't. God was still faithful to provide, even amidst his act of unfaithfulness. And yet, it was in that moment that God chose to say this: listen, you have not believed me. You have not treated me holy. Today, there's a great temptation. There's a great temptation to fall back and put our faith in the tangible, in what we see, in what we can feel, touch, taste, rather than put our faith in what is so hard often, this invisible grace of God. It's easier today to put your faith in a number in your bank account and let that be your good and let that be your confidence than it is to turn and know that your good is in the Lord who's got you. There are times. We were laughing because we had a friend and we put on a dinner because he had put some money on some land and gotten an acceptance. And for a time, in turn, it's a new beginning. And he had a Jones soda and he popped the cap. And underneath, I don't know if you know, there's always little messages like a fortune cookie. And under it, it said, there is a new season of life ahead of you. A new beginning, just as we were celebrating this property purchase. And he's like, I'm going to keep that one. And however true it might have been, what great temptation to stop and look at the horoscope, right? To see what it says. To see if the stars are aligning. To see if Jones Soda agrees with you. Right? Great temptation. To think that today, that's where I might find the answer. Great temptation to put my faith in what I can see. Saul, even though he had already sent out the mediums from the land, went on to search one out. And that was after having taken religious symbols, prophets, things, ceremonies, all to find the word of the Lord that he already knew. Today, you may be seeking for something that God has already told you. Sometimes I am busy, as we say, putting out the fleece again and again, searching for God's answer. Should I or shouldn't I? And often, here's God's word, trust me. And I see a Y in the road to the right and to the left, and I say, God, what's your will? And he says, yes, I've got you. And I say, no, Lord, this way or that way. And he says, yes. And I say, no. Do I buy it or don't I? And he says, I'm with you. Do I leave or do I stay? Do I quit and sell it all and go here? Or keep trying. And it makes it even worse when in the Lord, often the closed doors are the ones you're supposed to go through, and the open doors are the ones that are shut. Right? And yet again and again, we come back, like Romans 14:23, in which he says, and anything that is not from faith is sin. anything not from faith, anything not from that pure-hearted reliance and leaning on him, misses the mark that he has for you. Saul already knew that the kingdom had been torn from him. And yet for years, days, months, he had been trying with everything in him to cling to what he already knew wasn't his. He already knew God's will. He didn't need to keep seeking it. He already knew God's way. His way was faith. And yet he had already abandoned it when he had sought his own way. When he was told to kill all the Amalekites, and he decided to save some of them. Isaiah chapter 30, I go to often just to remind me of how wrong I can be. It says this in Isaiah 30, verse 1, "Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan but not mine, and make an alliance but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me, to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh, to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt, your humiliation." What was he saying to the people? He's saying, listen, today, you can go and make alliances for your safety. And you may well feel safe. And today you may well win this battle. But the reality, you've lost something. And what you've lost is that pure devotion to the Lord Jesus, that unrelenting relationship, the one who is your strength, who is your good. And today, what may well seem like a win is actually a loss and may well be your humiliation, as he says here. Today, I see so many places in which I am tempted. That continual temptation. I have speakers and evangelists and preachers who I can put on a pedestal, and I think if they say it, it must be right. Friends who I think their advice, if they believe it, it must be true. People I know invested and have made good money in the stock market, and I think if they say spend, it must be right to spend. When they say invest, it's trustworthy investment. But in a world like today, we must remember that everything we see, the only thing we can count on is the word of the Lord. And today, what's he saying? It's what he had said to Saul so long before, when Saul here began to seek his word. Saul, trust me. Believe me. And though it may not make sense in the moment, do you remember the sin? God said, "Wipe out the Amalekites for what they have done before me. Every one of them, every man, child, oxen, donkey." And after he had come back from battle, remember what he did? He spared the king, and he spared the best of the animals with the greatest of intentions for a sacrifice to the Lord. So busy doing what he thought was God's will that he missed God's word in the process. And today, like Saul, I can be that one that turns and again begins to see the things around me and to let my circumstances dictate my direction. Let the things that work. And remember, he was afraid of the people. What would they think if we killed everything? No, today we need to hear his voice and his alone. Just because something works doesn't make it right. Just because something speaks doesn't mean it's a voice worth listening to. And just because the world says it's trustworthy doesn't mean you should trust it. Saul was seeking the Lord in the darkness when the light had been shining all along, if only he would have had trust in it. I can only leave you with this question this morning, and it's the one the Lord is pressing upon my heart in that very reminder that today God is interested, as we've said before, the journey, not just the destination, the source, not just the product. Today, as you look at your life, as you look at the circumstances around you, what is the tangible temptation that is trying to steal your faith? And if you're like me and can be at times a people pleaser, it could be the demands and voices of others. If you're one who fears, and perhaps for even good reason, your finances, it could be the financial stability. It could be home and security, thinking that these things in themselves will solve a problem, will make you know him or see him in a greater light. No, there are no depths too deep, no mountains too high that will ever stop us from both seeing or hearing his voice. He is always speaking. The real question is, are we listening? And God keeps putting his finger on my heart and reminding me when I'm listening to the wrong thing, when I'm hearing the wrong voices. And again, they come back with the most subtle of superstitions. Right? Had a good friend who I've always been jealous of remind me, because he's had the privilege of doing Holy Land tours. And you could tell he was telling me, egging me on, that it's time for me to join him on one. And he told me stories about things and sights and sounds. And then I began to look at my circumstances and remember these words: you don't own a farm. A farm owns you. No better week than this last one reminded me of that, right? You don't just leave a farm. You can't just walk away with cows to milk and animals to feed. No. And there was this moment of passing thinking, if only I could go, wow, would I know the Lord more? Would I somehow see him in a fuller light, a fuller way? And then as the conversation began to continue, he reminded me of how many times you'd stop on the side of the road and there'd be a random rock and they'd say, this is the place where this miracle happened. And they'd build a church over it. Do you know what I mean? And to realize how commercialized it had become. And that still small voice inside that says, you know what? You don't need to see holy relics to know this holy God. Your faith will be no better to go as if not to go. I can speak as loudly here today in this moment as I will there and then. And it might be nice to go, and there'll be many things to learn if you go, but here's this: I'm faithful and I can teach you the same lessons here now than I will there then. Just keep your eyes on me. so easy to put my faith in that tangible thing you can touch, a trip to the Holy Land. Today, no, my faith is in the Lord. Today, my faith dictates that I do what he desires. And he will give me the wisdom that when it's free, to say no. And he'll give me the wisdom that when it's on sale, not to buy it. Even though every Mennonite bone in my body craves a deal, right? He will give me the wisdom. And today, when I see things that are working out there, and I'm seeing people healed and people hearing things, he'll also give me the wisdom to walk away. And today we live in an age where there are so many things. You look at Gabriola, right? What was it last weekend while we were enjoying a wonderful conference of prayer and communal healing? What was it? A healing conference on Gabriola, right? There's many things you can seek for healing. And be careful. Some may work in the immediate, but they haven't told you what the cost is in the long term. God's not just interested in seeing you healed. He's interested in seeing you whole. And wholeness in the Lord comes from seeking him alone. He wants to be your source. He wants to be the light. He wants to be your guiding direction. He wants to be your all in all. Not just a part. He wants to be that when people say, how? The answer, it's him. And today, if you have your eyes wide open, you will see, again, he's speaking. Saul missed it. Because his eyes were more on himself, his needs, his circumstances. And by the time he got to the end of his days, he began seeking things of the Lord through things that had nothing to do with the Lord at all. Guard our hearts from these very things and trust that the Lord will continue to speak and remind us as we're constantly being bombarded with these messages. And hear that still small voice. Remember, not in the earthquake, not in the towering wind, but the still small voice that says, here I am. Walk in my ways. I love the Apostle Paul and the book of Acts, in which again, when so many could be sitting and staying, stopped, saying, Lord, where? Lord, how? Lord, when? Remember his ministry? And he went over here, and the Holy Spirit stopped him. And he went over here, and God said no. And went over here, and he had a vision that said, come over here, Macedonia. And I thought, that's it. The Lord wants us over there. See, he was moving, trusting that the God behind him was big enough to direct him. The God that was with him was also big enough to stop him. But we'll never know if we're not listening. We'll never know if in that moment of temptation, we turn to the tangible, and when God says, go here, we turn and go there. When God says, speak to the rock, and we strike it. Oh, we may see effects, we may get results, but we'll have missed the greatness, the treasure of being a part of his glory and his will. We'll have missed another moment to have applied faith. Hebrews 11, that great thing that men of old gained approval. That wonderful act through which we understand even things unseen. Today, what is he saying? What are those things we've allowed to creep in? Superstitions the tangible temptations that want to take us from the reliance on our good and gracious God. I trust that this week, as you go about your days, He will remind you of what those things are. I only know He's reminding me, and that today He's calling me to be obedient with the things that are brought to light. We do not want to be in that position like Saul. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that You have given us many examples in scriptures of men and women who've lived before You. And we see great acts of goodness, great acts of faith, great acts that have been accomplished through their relationship in You. But today we can also see great warning, that today we can crave to know our future. We crave and we long to seek our fortune. We want to know what's around the next corner or the next bend. And yet in Your word, You have reminded us again and again that today You are enough. And that today, if only by faith we would trust You, You would lead us as a lamp unto our feet, as a guide unto our path. You will show us each step in the path of righteousness, not the easy road. And though it may yet be hard, we know that today You have prepared good works before us, and that faithful is He who calls You and will bring it to pass. Thank You that this morning we can come together and take warning of the many things we often seek for our own good, our own safety, and as Saul sought You, his own livelihood. May we go back and perhaps today take account of the things we know You've already said. You are faithful even when we are unfaithful. You are the great provider. Seek first the heavenly kingdom, and all these things will be added. Today and each day, may we be reminded of that very thing and not just do what works, but strive to do what's right in Your eyes. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.